Book of Luke, chapter 10. I'm going to start from verse 1.
After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest.
If you remember last week, we learned that in the last closing chapter of 9, we learned that Jesus Christ was saying, if you want to follow me, what you should do. One man says, I want to follow you. He said, foxes has holes and the birds has nest, but the Son of Man doesn't have even place to lay down his head. And then he says, if you want to follow me, if you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Another man says, let me go and bury my father, then I come. He says, let the dead bury dead, you follow me. So he gave the message to the people if they really want to follow Jesus Christ. And here, many people followed, and then Jesus Christ took out of those people 70 more disciples. As we know, Matthew chapter 10, if you read, it says, out of all these disciples, he chosen 12, and he made them apostles. But here it says, he appointed again 70 more disciples. But the verse 2, he says, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of harvest that he should send forth laborers into his harvest. Now this Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago. What he said, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. When I heard these things first time in my life, I said, Lord Jesus, I'm not only praying for the laborers, take me as your laborer. He says, pray to the Father that Father will send more laborers so they can work in his vineyard. Many people are praying, but some of you should be saying, Lord Jesus, take me as one of your co-worker or one of your laborers. And when he said these things, he had chosen these people and sent them away. When Jesus Christ was talking to this Samaritan lady, he said to his disciples, people are saying there are 4 months for the harvest, but he says harvest is already ripe. Go to the St. John chapter 4, verse 35. 38.
Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors.
So what Jesus Christ was saying, when he was talking to this Samaritan lady, she went to city to bring the people. And the people were coming. And Jesus Christ says, look at the harvest is already ready to be harvested. And so he saw hundreds and hundreds of people coming to hear the word of God. So what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying today, you should have the vision. When you're looking at people, we should not be delaying the work of God. We want to be ready for his soon coming. So we should be looking at the harvest and try to work in the vineyard. He says, whoever is sowing and whoever is reaping, both will get the reward. Jesus Christ did the work already, and many people came to Christ. And now it is our job to bring the people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so he says, the laborers already worked. Now he was talking to his disciples. Before Jesus Christ came, there were other people who were working, like a John the Baptist. And before that, other prophets were working. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 1, and start reading from verse 10.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you.
See, here is saying, the prophet were searching about salvation, preaching to other people about salvation. So Jesus Christ says, some of the people already sown the seed. The salvation message is out there. There are people, they preach only salvation. And they have names also, like a salvation army. They preach only salvation. They don't preach about water baptism. They don't preach about taking the communion, just the salvation. And there are some group of people, they will preach about the salvation and water baptism, and they will not preach about the Holy Spirit. And there are some people, they will preach about the salvation, water baptism, Holy Spirit, holy living, and second coming of Christ, and getting ready and bringing the people to the kingdom of God. So there are groups of people, different kinds of people, preaching different kinds of things. So what the Word of God is telling to us, there are already people preaching about salvation. So what? We should not be saying, oh, what is my job? These people already got saved. I have nothing to do. We have work to do. When the people are saved, tell them about water baptism. If the people are already taken the water baptism, tell them about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongue and prophesying and doing the things of God. So he says, the people who are sowers and the reapers will have their reward. They will get their reward. So one works, one sows, another waters, and somebody harvests. All together working for the kingdom of God. Okay, now let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 3.
Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house.
Here he says, when you go, do not take anything with you, like carrying the purse or food or even the shoes, and you go. And when you come to a city or in a town, say peace to that house and stay in that house. But Matthew says, you search. Go to the Matthew chapter 10, verse 11. You cannot go to anybody's house and say, I want to stay here until I leave the Philadelphia. We don't want to be burdened to somebody else. We have to search and find out who is worthy, who wants us to be there. Go ahead, please read.
And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence.
See, here he's saying, inquire, find out who the person is worthy, who is person is godly, who wants you to be in their house, who wants you to feed you and take care of you. That's the kind of person you look, and then stay in that house. Don't leave that house until you finish your mission in that city or in that town. You will be surprised. There are people looking for good ministers to come to their house and stay in their house. Forget about the minister. There are some people are taking care of the high school student, bringing from different countries and taking them in their house and taking care of them. And some people, they cannot take care of their own children, and they are trying to destroy their children. So he says, when you're going to preach, look for the house, look for the person who really loves the Lord, who really wants to support the ministry, who really wants to help you to preach the gospel. Go to that house and stay in that house. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 6.
And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house.
Now see, here is saying, if you go to somebody's house and they keep you, then don't demand them, can you make a chicken curry today? Can you make the lamb curry tomorrow? And I like this and I like that. No. You go to their house and whatever they cook, you eat. Don't demand anything. And don't say this is not good and this is not good. They are not going to make special food every day. If you like or if you don't like, there is no choice. Now there are preachers and there are doctors coming to your church and they tell you what to eat and what not to eat. That's okay. But at the same time, if you go to somebody's house and say, you know what, I don't eat this food. If you say that, you are offending that person. That person giving you free food, free living, free everything, you cannot demand anything or you cannot put them down. Just think, you went to China and they made a cat pickle. One person sent some very expensive gift to China and that person sent him beautiful jar with a cat pickle. And he opened it, his Hindu guy, he said, what is this? And he says, cat pickle. So he got offended. So the word of God is saying, when you go to somebody's house and you want to preach the gospel, what you do? When the food is in front of you, you bless the food. The word of God says, whatever you bless, the food will be blessed. So we have to learn, when you go to somebody's house as a guest or as a minister, shut your mouth, don't say anything. And so here the word of God is saying, when you go into somebody's house, whatever they give it to you, you eat that food. Okay, let's read verse 8.
And into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you.
Now here is saying, whatever food they give, you eat and do the Lord's work. Happily, joyfully, healing the sick, raising the dead, and do miracles. And then he says, while you're doing this, tell these people, the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. That means the kingdom of God is at hand. Do you know the first message John the Baptist preached? Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 3, and verse 1 and 2.
In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
What did he say? Repent, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Today you don't see people talking about repentance in the church. Here the John the Baptist says, repent. And then you believe the gospel. You have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ saying, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner. I need a savior. Jesus Christ did the same. Go to the Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.
Now the John the Baptist preached, repent and believe the gospel. Jesus Christ said, repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Can you imagine? 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ is saying the kingdom of God is at hand, means very close. Then the Peter also preached, repent. So all these people were talking about repentance and believing in Jesus Christ, believing in God, and prepare yourself for the kingdom of God. Many churches today, they are not telling you to repent of your sins. And that's why churches are not spiritually strong. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 10, starting from verse 10.
But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me.
The word of God says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the message was given to these people, you go and preach. Your job is to tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. Your job to tell them to repent. If they don't, when you're leaving the city, tell them, I'm not taking anything out of your city. Even the dust of my feet, I live in this city. And that dust will cry out in the judgment day. And so you will have problems. And you will have judgment. He's saying, Sodom and Gomorrah. You know how wicked city Sodom and Gomorrah was. God sent the fire from heaven and destroyed those cities. So he says, some of the cities' names are given. Jesus Christ went and preached all the gospels into these cities. So he says, the judgment day is coming. And when the judgment day is coming, and when God starts judging all those cities, sometimes he says Sodom and Gomorrah will have an easy time than these cities. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ came into this world, preached the gospel to these people. They heard Jesus Christ. Those people have more punishment than the people who never heard about Jesus Christ. And so, here is the word of God is saying, verse 16, He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. He that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. So he's trying to say, if they don't listen to you, that means they don't listen to me. If they don't listen to me, that means they don't listen to my Father. And so you don't have to worry about anything. You just preach and leave it go. Because sometimes when you go and preach to somebody and they don't listen, you feel bad. Why this person is not listening? Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 8 says, when you tell the wicked man, though God says you are going to go to hell or you are going to die in your sin, you go and tell that person. If you don't tell, that his sin will come to you. But if you tell that man, then you are safe and God will judge him if he doesn't repent and if he doesn't come to the Lord. So what we're doing, we are spreading the gospel to the each and every person, so each and every person should know that Jesus Christ is Lord. If they deny it, that's up to them. But their blood is not coming on us. So he says, if they deny you, they're denying me. If they deny me, they're denying the Father. So you don't worry. You just keep on doing the Lord's work. Don't get discouraged. This is God's work. And the word of God says, my word will not come to me void. We are the sowers. We sow the seed. Let God give the increase. And we have nothing to worry about. Jesus Christ says, you go and do your work. Verse 17.
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
70 people came back and gave the report. And they were so happy, they said, you know what? The devils are cast out in your name, and devils are subject to us because of your name. And that's why we are so happy. Jesus said, that's not the things to be happy. You should be happy that your name is written in heaven. That's why some of the denominations, they don't want signs and wonders and miracles. They say, we want to just preach the gospel and let the people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. A person can get healed today and he can get sick again. But the person who comes to the Lord and his name is written in heaven and he lives for Christ, then he will go to heaven. But the word of God is saying we have to do both things. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead. This is the gospel of Christ. We don't take the gospel like a plain gospel. You take the gospel with the signs and wonders and miracles. If you take the gospel to India and your gospel has only one message, Jesus Christ is Lord, you know what they're going to say? We have 33 million gods. Why we want one more God? But when you do some signs and wonders and miracles, they see these miracles, you don't have to force them to be Christian. They will follow Christ. And I have seen many, many coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, Jesus Christ is saying, I saw the Satan as a lightning falling from heaven. So what he is trying to say, don't be so proud that you are doing some miracles. We cannot heal one fly. There are people taking the credits. They are saying, this man is a healer. This man is a miracle worker. Nobody can do miracles without name of Jesus. And if they start taking glory for themselves, they are going to fall. Satan fell, he says, I saw him falling like a lightning, speed of light. So that means Satan had a pride and he fell. So he's saying, you are proud. You are thinking that we did a miracle. He says, the time is coming. God is going to judge the Satan. The same way he will be judging the people who are not living right life. Let's read St. John chapter 12, verse 31.
Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out.
Now is the judgment of this world. He was talking about 2,000 years ago. And the prince of this world be cast out. Who is the prince of this world? The devil. Go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
What is his job? He is blinding, not the eyes, the minds. Blinding the minds of whom? Unbelievers. So he doesn't want unbelievers believing Jesus Christ. So he blinding the minds of unbelievers so they should not see the gospel of Christ or the light of Christ or image of God. They don't want Jesus to be known to this world. So that's what the devil is working. As soon as somebody preaches, he comes to take the seed out, the word of God out of their minds. So the devil is busy trying to destroy the unbelievers. He cannot do anything to the believers. Once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a greater power. Just go to the 1 John chapter 4, verse 4.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
See, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, the God of this world is devil. And that God is blinding the minds of unbelievers. But here he says, the greater one lives in you. Little children, who are the children? Little children? The children of God. If you are a child of God, if you are born again, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God the Father lives in you. Then you have the powerhouse. The devil is outside and he has no power to defeat you. Because you can crush the devil in the name of Jesus. So the Jesus Christ was telling his disciples, why are you so excited about the demon you are casting? You should be excited that your name is written in heaven. The word of God is saying, the devil will be cast out and the devil's kingdom will be destroyed. Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Now see how much power he has given on the serpents, scorpions, and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means will hurt you. It's a powerful word. If you believe it, it says God has given us power over the demonic forces. And some Christians are trembling and they are afraid of enemy. Enemy has no power over us. We are belong to Jesus Christ. Let's read the similar verse in Book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 17.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
See, how much power? Any deadly poisonous thing somebody gives to you, you will not die. You have power over serpents and all kinds of evil things. If you believe, then you can cast the demons out, you can heal the sick, and you can do miracles in the name of Jesus. So we have power given from God. Let's go back to the Luke. Chapter 10, verse 20.
Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Again he's saying, when you saw these miracles, the demon you cast out, don't rejoice on that. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Now, some people are teaching the wrong doctrines today. You know what they teach you? They tell you once you receive Jesus Christ, you are saved forever. Bible doesn't teach that. Bible teaches that if you are born again, child of God, stay in the blood of Jesus Christ, plead the blood of Jesus Christ, live a holy and clean life, and stay in the Lord, then guarantees your heaven. But if you receive Jesus Christ today and deny him tomorrow, there's no guarantee then you'll make it to heaven. Here he's saying you should be thankful that your name is written in heaven. You remember the Moses. Take my name out of this book. Go to the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verse 32. See what God says. Then you know when your name is written in heaven or written in the book, can God take that name out of the book or can he blot out that name? Go ahead.
Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written.
Now, what he is trying to say, my name is written in heaven, but if you don't bless me or if you don't bless your people, take my name out of this book. Means, take my name out. What God is saying. Read verse 33.
And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book.
See, he said, if you commit sin and live in sin, if you commit sin and say, Lord, I ask forgiveness, repent, he will forgive you. But some people live in sin. They said, I was saved and I'm not going to go to hell. I don't have to repent of my sins. Those people's name will be taken out of the book. Go to the book of Psalms, chapter 69 and verse 28.
Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous.
If somebody committing sin and their name is written in the book of life, said that their name should be taken out. Only righteous people's name should be in that book. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 5.
He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Who is this person? He says, he that overcometh. Overcome your obstacles, your sin, your bad habit, your bad kind of life. You cannot carry on that kind of life and be a Christian. He says, overcomers, that person's name I will not blot out of my book. So I will even recognize him in front of Father, in front of the angels. That means if you live in victorious life, your name will be written in the book of Lamb, and you will be there forever. But if you commit sin, and if you don't repent, and if you say, well, nobody is a perfect, nobody is a good man, everybody is a sinner, then Jesus Christ has to come and crucified again. But once Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, he was crucified for once and for all. Once you receive the blood of Jesus Christ, you stay in the blood. You plead the blood. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, if you read, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ has power to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But when? You have to confess. Go ahead.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
If you are living in light, means what? You are a born-again Christian, and then you live a Christian life like a shining light. And then your life is pleasing to God, and you have blood covering or the blood cleansing all the time. Automatically, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you every day as you stay in Jesus Christ, or as you receive Jesus Christ and keep it in your heart. Verse 8.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Now somebody says, I'm not a sinner. Jesus Christ already forgave me. But I'm living a life, what? What kind of life? I don't know. But here it says, if you start saying, I'm not a sinner, then you are deceiving yourself. You are not telling the truth.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So here's the key. If you are a born-again Christian, and if you made a mistake or you committed sin, knowingly or unknowingly, God will forgive you if you confess and put it right with God. And his blood has power to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The book of Ezekiel's 18 chapter verse 4, it says, the soul that sinneth, what? It shall die. Means every sinner will die. And somebody says, oh, Christians are dying. He's not trying to say dying means what? Dying means eternal death. But we die, we sleep. We are not going to go to hell. Because what happens? Book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23 says, what? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what do we need? Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Receive Jesus Christ, and your sins will be forgiven, and you will have eternal life. Don't live in a foolish way that we are all sinners and we cannot live a clean and holy life. Then devil got you. He said, well, you're right. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 21.
In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him.
God has revealed himself to the babes, not little babies. He's trying to say, if you are born again child of God, you will know who Father is. Without born again experience, you cannot even call God Abba Father. The St. John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to be called the sons of God. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he gives you power and authority to be called the sons of God. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, it says, God the Father sends the Spirit of his Son into your spirit. Why? Because you are a children of God. So you could call the Abba Father. So without knowing Jesus Christ, you will not understand the Father. So here is saying, God has done a miracle that he has given this power to the little babies. Means born again children of God to understand who the Father is. And the verse 22, he says, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. So what he's trying to say? Nobody knows who the Son is, only Father knows. And then he says, and who the Father is but the Son. What he's trying to say? If you want to know who the Father is, only Son can deliver to you. And Father will tell you about Son. So Father talks about Son, Son talks about Father. So they know each other. Matthew chapter 3, please read. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17.
And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Now, who is talking? Father is saying about his Son. So the Father is testifying about his Son. St. John chapter 1 verse 18. When you read, it says, no one knows who Father is. Who declared Son? Could you please read?
No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
So the Father says, I am well pleased on my beloved Son. And the Son said, no one knew who God was, but the Son was with Father. That Son came into this world, and that Son revealed us who Father is. That means no other religion can say who God is. They worship the gods, but they don't know who God is. St. Paul said, you know, you are so religious people, you are worshiping unknown God, but I know who God is. And he revealed to them Jesus Christ. So only Christ revealed who God is. Without Jesus, we cannot understand who God is. So the Father talks about Son, Son talks about God. Okay, read St. John chapter 5, verse 23.
That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him.
See, he said all people should honor the Father and honor the Son. So that means if you do not honor the Son, you cannot honor the Father. And so some people say, oh, we need Father, we don't need a Son. Our God says, I send my Son. I sacrifice my Son. I give my Son as a gift to you. If you deny him, you're denying me. If you want to go to Father, Jesus Christ says, come through me. I am the door. I am the way to go to Father. Without me, no one can go to Father. Go to the 1 John chapter 2, verse 23.
Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also.
It's very simple. He says, if you deny the Son, you deny the Father. But if you receive the Son, you got a Father and the Son. That's why the Word of God is teaching us, when we are born again, we can understand who Father is. And Jesus says, I will come, I'll bring my Father with me, and we will make our home in you. That's why when we are born again, we can understand the Father, we can understand the Son, we can understand the Holy Spirit. Please don't try to teach Trinity to unsaved person. You will break in your head. They will never understand. But once they receive Jesus Christ, then the Trinity is very easy to understand. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 23.
And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them.
See, he was trying to tell his disciples, you people are so blessed. From Genesis until the Jesus Christ came, all the prophets, we just heard a few minutes ago, 1 Peter chapter 1, all the prophets were searching about salvation. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53, even though he did not see, but he was saying what the crucifixion is all about. All these prophets preached about Jesus Christ. If you take the Christ or the Jesus prophecy from the Old Testament will be useless book. If you take all the signs and wonders and miracles and Jesus' name from the New Testament, this book will be useless book. So the Word of God is saying, all these prophets and all these kings, they wanted to see me in person. But he says, you are blessed. You saw me face to face. One time he went to the synagogue and took the scroll, book of Luke chapter 4. And when you start reading from 18, he read the scriptures and start reading from that 18 to 22. I'm going to finish here because time doesn't permit. Go ahead.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
See, he read the book in front of them, and gave the book back to them, and he says, This prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing today. Same thing he said to the disciples. Prophets and the kings, they want to do see me. They had a great desire to see me and hear me. But you are so blessed that you are able to hear and see. Are you blessed that you are in this 21st century? Jesus Christ came. He died for us. He was buried. He is risen. He went to heaven. And he promised to come back. We are the blessed people. We are blessed than all the Old Testament people. We are blessed than all the angels. You know why? Because when you are born again, angels are the serving, ministering spirit. They are not higher than you. They are lower than you because they are serving you. Old Testament people, you take from Genesis to John the Baptist, they were great people, but the Word of God says, whoever is the least in the kingdom of God, he will be greater than even the John the Baptist. So we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those people were washed by the blood of bulls and goats. So we are greater than all the Old Testament saints. We have seen the prophecy fulfilled in front of our own eyes. Jesus Christ came, died for our sins, and rose again. Do you know what he said to the Thomas? Blessed are those people didn't see me and still believed. St. John saw the clothes and he believed. Peter went inside and looked everywhere and he did not believe. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe until I touch him and put my hand in his hand and put my hand in his side. Jesus says, Thomas, come here. Check me out. He fell on his face and he says, My God and my Lord. And Jesus said, Thomas, because you saw me, you believe. The blessed the people are who did not see me and yet believe. Did you see Jesus face to face? No. But I believe that he was here. I believe that he died for me. I believe he rose again. So we are much more blessed than the people even who saw him face to face. But Jesus is saying, you are so blessed. You saw me. You heard me. What I'm saying. There are people we're craving to see Jesus Christ. But we can see him every day. One lady said to somebody, I heard your Jesus says, I'm knocking at the door and you open the door for me and I'll come and eat with you. And she went home and she prayed, Lord, I want you to visit me someday. There was a knock at the door. She opened the door. She saw Jesus coming. And she said, I sat with Jesus and I had dinner with him. So Jesus Christ is real. He's real. And so we are so blessed to see Jesus and hear Jesus and feel him in our spirit. We are blessed. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a good God, great God, a miracle working. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us grace to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. We trust in you, Lord Jesus. You are living in our hearts. You are greater than any power of devil on earth. We are victorious in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful to you that you have given us power over all the enemies. People are dying without God and without Christ. Use your church to bring souls to the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.